ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 14, The Three Modes of Material Nature, Text Number 27. That is on page 707. Brahmanaha Brahma Jyoti. Oh, sorry. Hi pratishta aham amritasya avyayasya cha shashvatasya dacha dharmasya sukasya aikantikasya cha brahmanoi pratishta aham amritasya vyayavyascha amritasya vyayasyascha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya kantikasya cha brahmano hi pratistaham amritasya vyayasyascha amritasya vyayasyascha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya kantikasya cha sukhasya kantikasya cha brahmano hi pratistaham amritasya vyayasya cha amritasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya kantikasya cha. Brahmano hi pratistaham amritasya yayasya cha sashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya kantikasya cha. Brahmano hi pratistaham amritasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya kantikasya cha. Brahmanaha, of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, he certainly pratishta, the rest, aham, I am, amritasya, of the immortal, avyayasya, of the imperishable, cha, also, shashvatasya, of the eternal, cha, and dharmasya, of the constitutional position, sukhasya, of happiness, aikantikasya, ultimate, cha, also. Translation. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Purport. The constitution of Brahman is immortality, imperishability, eternity, and happiness. Brahman is the beginning of transcendental realization. Paramatma, the Supersoul, is the middle, second stage in transcendental realization, And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman are within the Supreme Person. It is explained in the seventh chapter that material nature is the manifestation of the inferior energy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord impregnates the inferior material nature with fragments of the superior nature, and that is the spiritual touch in the material nature. When a living entity conditioned by this material nature begins the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, he elevates himself from the position of material existence and gradually rises up to the Brahman conception of the Supreme. This attainment of the Brahman conception of life is the first stage in self-realization. At this stage, the Brahman-realized person is transcendental to the material position, but he is not actually perfect in Brahman realization. If he wants, he can continue to stay in the Brahman position and then gradually rise up to Paramatma realization, and then to the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of this in Vedic literature. The four Kumaras were situated first in the impersonal Brahman conception of truth, but then they gradually rose to the platform of devotional service. One who cannot elevate himself beyond the impersonal conception of Brahman runs the risk of falling down. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that although a person may rise to the stage of impersonal Brahman without going further, with no information of the Supreme Person, his intelligence is not perfectly clear. Therefore, in spite of being raised to the Brahman platform, there is the chance of falling down if one is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Vedic language, it is also said, Raso vaisa rasangi eva yang labdavan labdvanandi bhavati. When one understands the personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, he actually becomes transcendentally blissful. Tathirya Upanishad 2.7.1. Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, and when a devotee approaches him, there is an exchange of these six opulences. The servant of the king enjoys on an almost equal level with the king, and so eternal happiness, imperishable happiness, and eternal life accompany devotional service. Therefore, realization of Brahman, or eternity, or imperishability, is included in devotional service. This is already possessed by a person who is engaged in devotional service. The living entity, although Brahman by nature, has the desire to lord it over the material world, and due to this, he falls down. In his constitutional position, a living entity is above the three modes of material nature. But association with material nature entangles him in the different modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Due to the association of these three modes, his desire to dominate the material world is there. By engagement in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, he is immediately situated in the transcendental position, and his unlawful desire to control material nature is removed. Therefore, the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering the prescribed nine methods for realizing devotional service, should be practiced in the association of devotees. Gradually, by such association, by the influence of the spiritual master, one's material desire to dominate is removed, and one becomes firmly situated in the Lord's transcendental loving service. This method is prescribed from the 22nd to the last verse of this chapter. Devotional service to the Lord is very simple. One should always engage in the service of the Lord, should eat the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the deity, smell the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, see the places where the Lord had his transcendental pastimes, read of the different activities of the Lord, his reciprocation of love with his devotees, chant always the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and observe the fasting days commemorating the appearances and disappearances of the Lord and his devotees. By following such a process, one becomes completely detached from all material activities. One who can thus situate himself in the Brahma Jyoti, or the different varieties of the Brahman conception, is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the three modes of material nature. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapanantikam Vande Hang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavangscha Sri Rupang Sakrajatang Sahakana Raganatang Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyay Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Brahmano hi pratistaham amritasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukasya kantikasya cha. So here Krishna is continued to speak to Sri Arjuna, and it's the end of the chapter, and it's a very important chapter. At the beginning of this chapter, Prabhupada says in the purport, it's in the first purport on the second page. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. And Prabhupada also explains at the end of that purport, he says, the knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attain perfection and transfer to the spiritual world. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many attain perfection. Thus it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. Sometimes it is said that like the middle six chapters are the most important. It is also mentioned in this same purport. Prabhupada says, from the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in details reveals the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is the second part, continuing from the 13th chapter. It is first six chapters, then the second six, then the last six, 18 chapters. Many times it is said that the middle six chapters are the most important. That might be true, but here Prabhupada says that this chapter gives knowledge that has not been given in those chapters. This is far, far superior. Prabhupada says, to the other processes of knowledge thus far explained. In other words, to understand the three modes of material nature, it is very important. The three modes, they act on us. It's described in the, I think, the seventh chapter, Mayat Yakshena Prakriti, Suyate Sacharacharam, Hetunanena Kantia, Jagat Viparivartate. Also, Prabhupada says that this body, it's like a yantra, it's like a machine, and this machine is going on this material nature. So these three gunas, guna means rope, like a rope. So you have sattva guna, mode of goodness, raja guna, mode of passion, and tamaguna, mode of ignorance. So most people in society, they are controlled or under the modes, as we say, by tamaguna. And some people are under the mode of rajaguna or passion. And very few people are under the mode of sattvaguna, goodness. But we have to ultimately transcend these modes. I will go a little bit into the purport, but I will first explain a little bit about Sanskrit. Brahmano hi pratistaham. He says, the impersonal, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. So this is very important, because many spiritualists, they know about this spiritual light or effulgence. It's actually effulgence, because it is emanating from Krishna's body. That is how it is explained. So many people, they confuse this spiritual light with, as Prabhupada just say, all in all. They say that is the spiritual light, or as it's described here, Brahmana, and Prabhupada translates it as impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Jyoti means light, and Brahma means the spiritual energy. So it's the light of the spiritual energy. So many people, especially in India, they say that Krishna or Vishnu, they emanate from this spiritual light. But that is not the case. We have information from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, he is one of the acharyas. In fact, he is the first created being of this universe. And we are in his philosophical line. So there is a line going from Krishna, and there is four different lines. And we are in the, well, technically we call it the, what is it called? Matva Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya? Or the Gaudiya Matva, Brahma Matva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we are in the Sampradaya of Brahmaji. And then there's another Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya. Or what is it also called? No, that is another one. But the Rudra is also called, I think, Ramanuja Sampradaya. No? He's one of their acharyas. So like we also have our acharyas. So sometimes that... Nimbarka. Yes, Nimbarka Sampradaya. Yes. Because Ramanuja is in our Sampradaya, no? Or not? Or is he in Sri? He is Sri Sampradaya, right? Okay. We should know. But Ramanuja is in our Sampradaya? Okay. Yes. Yeah, so if you look, I don't know, some of you have this Bhagavad Gita. So if you look on page 34, you can see the line of Brahmaji. It starts, of course, with Krishna, then it goes to Brahma, then Narada Muna, then Vedavyas or Vyasadev, and then it's Madhva Acharya, and so many. Then we pick it up at number 21, Ishvara Puri, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then the six Goswamis, Krishna Das Kaviraj, Nartum Das Thakur, Vishnu Chakravati Thakur, and then at 10 to 9 we'll have a darshan, and then you can see these pictures of the acharyas. On the far right you'll see Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then Gorkishor Das Babaji, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. He's actually the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then he initiated one disciple, that is our Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So like that, the knowledge is given. Krishna explains in the fourth chapter, evam parampara prapta imam rajasayo vidu. This parampara was given to the Raja Rishis, the saintly king. Rishi means saint, or very smart person. And Raj means king. It was the Raja Rishis, the intelligent, the saintly kings. This knowledge, this vidu, was given to them. So, and that is why Krishna is explaining it again here in Bhagavad Gita, because the knowledge was lost. Sakalena mahata yoga nashta parantapa. The yoga was nashta, it was destroyed, it was scattered. So therefore, Krishna explained it again to Sri Arjuna. So you have Sri Sampradaya, and then you have Rudra Sampradaya, and you have the Kumara Sampradaya, Sanat Kumara Sampradaya. These are the sons of Brahma. So there's four Sampradayas, and actually if one is not taking knowledge from any of these Sampradayas, it is considered not fully authorized. Or at least it should be in line. We have a system called Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So these three, they are in line. The Guru says the same what is in Shastra, and the Shastra says the same what the Sadhus are saying, and like that. Guru is never saying, I am Krishna. Guru is saying, I am the servant of Krishna, and you should surrender to Krishna. Not to me, you surrender to Krishna. So sometimes in India you have gurus and they say, I am Krishna, and you are Krishna, and we are all Krishna. So this is not bona fide, this is not authorized. Any of these sampradayas I'm explaining, either Shiva or Rudra Sampradaya, or Sri or Lakshmi Sampradaya, or Sanat Kumara Sampradaya, or the Brahma Sampradaya, they all say the same thing. We are servants of Krishna, we are not his body, we do not belong in this material world, and we have to surrender to Krishna. We have to, this is the meaning of yoga, we have to connect or reconnect with Krishna. And the easiest way, because that is another, Prabhupada would say, bogus thing in India, that you have so many yogis and they stand on their head and they fly from the earth. But what is the use? You see, there's so many nice airplanes and they can fly also. But really, to yoga means to connect with Krishna. And the easiest way to connect with Krishna is to chant these names. These names are non-different from Krishna. This is the Maha Mantra. Mantra means mind, and tra means to deliver. So this mantra, it can deliver your mind to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And you can just chant this mantra. Hara is the energy of the Lord, and it refers to Radharani. It's Radharani. Krishna means God. Krishna means all attractive. The Supreme Personality of God, who is all attractive. Why is he all attractive? Because he's Bhagavan. Like this Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't say Krishna Uvacha. It says Bhagavan Uvacha. Because Krishna is Bhagavan, and that I was explaining. Lord Brahma, he is saying, Ishvara Parama Krishna. The Param Ishvar is Krishna, not Vishnu, not this Brahman, what we are discussing today, but it's Krishna. And it's explained by Lord Brahma, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He has a Vigraha, he has a form. And that Krishna explains himself, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yaveti Tatvataha. That you know that my janma, my birth, and my karma are divyam. They are spiritual, transcendental. Transcendental means it is transcending this material nature. It is not from this world. So this is the confusing part for the persons. It is called Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Manya, I already explained, means mind. Atma means the self. Jagat means the universe, everything. Atmavan Manyate Jagat. As I am thinking, Atma Manyate, as I am thinking, Jagat, so everybody else is thinking. Like a dog thinks, everybody is a dog. So because I have a material body, I'm thinking everybody has a material body. So when Krishna comes, I drag him down to my level. I'm thinking, I have a material body. Krishna also has a material body. So Krishna, he's explained, this is Muda. What is that verse? And he says, when I descend in the human form, Namam duskritino mudha prapachyante naradama. What does it mean? Yeah, namam duskritino mudha prapachyante naradama. They are naradama. Nara means human, and adama means low. They're lowest among mankind. Namam duskritino mudha prapachyante naradama. They deride me when I descend in the human form. And they're duskritinas. But this is what Krishna says. That if we have that mentality, that if we don't understand, we don't take Krishna's word, jama karma chame divyam evam yavedi tatvata. Because this is the point of Bhagavad Gita. If you read the second chapter, then, because most people, they know, I mean, assume you're from India, most people, they know Mahabharata. And they know the story of the Pandavas. And they know Krishna and Arjuna were friends. Krishna was their uncle. But in the second chapter, Krishna submits himself. He says, Shishyasteham sadi mam tvam prapanyam. Now I am a soul surrendered into you. Please instruct me. I'm your Shishya. I'm your Siksha. I'm your disciple. So the Prabhupada explains in the purport, friendly talks are over. No more friendly talks, because he has submitted himself to the Guru, Krishna, the Supreme Guru, the perfect Guru, the faultless Guru. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody cheats. Like so many shopkeepers, they say, I don't make any profit. But how he cannot make any profit? He cannot eat. Everybody knows he makes some profit. So it is a form of cheating. It is necessary. It is part of being human. That is another thing. To err is human. Everybody makes mistakes. This is, everybody knows. And we have imperfect senses. And what is the fourth one? Yes, we are in illusion. We get into illusion. So, you know, we fall asleep. We drive a car, and when we're very tired, we fall asleep and we can crash. But Krishna doesn't, he's not affected by that. This is what I mean with tamagun. When the night is there, the tamas, the darkness is there, and like I said, it's like a rope, and gradually this tamagun, it can encircle us, and we're driving the car, and we'll doze off, and then we can crash. This is falling into illusion. So we have these four mistakes, but Krishna, he doesn't have these four mistakes. Therefore, he is the Supreme Guru, and therefore, we take knowledge from Krishna. And therefore, Arjuna, he submitted himself to Krishna. He said, I'm surrendering to you. Please tell me what to do. Because he was thinking, I shouldn't fight because this is my family. But the point was, it is a little bit technical, it's a little bit political, but Duryodhana, he shouldn't have been on the throne. He took it illegal. It's a whole story. Besides that he took the throne illegal, he was a very bad character. So his government was very unsavory. And Krishna wanted to establish dharma. He that is another reason why he comes. Dharma samstapanartaya. He is establishing dharma. So if we don't accept that Krishna is God, that Krishna is Bhagavan, then this whole Bhagavad Gita is kind of useless. That's why it says Bhagavan Uvacha. And that is explaining that Bhagavan means one who possesses all six opulences. So not only does he not make any mistakes, he possesses all money, all riches, all power, he is all strength, he is all famous, all beauty, he is the smartest, he is all knowledgeable, and he is completely renounced. So these are the six opulence that Krishna possessed when he appeared in this world. Like I said, janma karma chame divyam evam yaveti tatvata. My janma, my birth and my karma, my activities are spiritual. His body is spiritual. Sat chit ananda vigraha. He has a vigraha and is sat, eternal, chit, full of knowledge, anand, full of bliss. Our body is asat. It is temporary and it is achit. It is full of ignorance. There is no knowledge in the body, and it is also a place of ignorance. It's a place of suffering. You put one little needle on your toe and you have to walk out. It starts to bleed. You'll be full of pain. You know, even if we walk outside, a little rain comes, we all run away. We run for shelter. So the body, it's a place of suffering. It is not anant. But the soul is satchit ananda vigra. The soul also has a vigra. It has a form, but now it's covered. Like my clothes are covering my body. So it's the same form as my body. You see, I'm a small guy, so my clothes are small. If you're a big guy, then you have big clothes. So same with the real body. It is according to the soul, or actually to the mind, because the soul is spiritual. So if the mind is sinful, then you also get a sinful body, like a dog body. And if the mind is pious, then you get a pious body. And so that is mode of goodness. If we are pious, we do good things, then we are in the mode of goodness. But we have to transcend ultimately these modes. And that is what Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, that you have to surrender unto me. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. He says, Sarva Dharma Pityagya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. You should surrender unto me. Only to me. You give up all forms of dharma, of religion. This word is also given here. It is here translated as of the constitutional position. But dharma also means different kinds of religion. Because our real dharma is to serve Krishna. But we should give up the material dharma. But that is what Bhagavad Gita is about. Because Arjuna was thinking, I should not kill my family. But the point was that his family, specifically Duryodhana, who was his nephew, they were causing so much trouble for the world. And that is why they had to be killed, because they didn't want to go away. In fact, they didn't want to give Arjuna even a small piece of land. So there were so many negotiations and everything failed, so there was no choice. So that is why Arjuna, he had to fight. It was his duty as a kshatriya, as a king, was his duty to fight. So, is there any question or comment? Well, you take something, right? You can take something, like I'm taking this harmonium, but then I can mistake, I drop it. It's like a fault, an error, you know, a mistake. Yeah, I explained a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, so just to recap a little bit, so I explained about the imperfect senses, the four mistakes. And I explained about the soul, that we're not this body, but we're spirit soul, and that we're going from one body to the next body. Krishna is explaining this in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Dinasmin yatade kamaram jovanam jara. He says that the embodied soul, the soul is inside the body, dehinasmin yatade, kamaram jovanam jara. It goes from kamaram, from kid, to yovanam, to youth, to jara, to old person. Tata deya antara praptir. When the deya is antar, is ending, Then it prapti, it gets another body. So now it's already getting different bodies. Like you have these children. And like especially when you're young children, because I think they're a little bit old already, but they have these different teeth. So when they get old, they change the teeth. So a whole body is changed. Like get different voice. Like I think he's still quite young. So when he becomes 12, 13, his voice will change. Get different hairs. Like now I'm 40, I'm getting older. Now I notice my nose is growing. I don't want my nose to grow, but it's growing. My ears are growing. You see, you get hair on all kinds of places. You don't want to have hair growing. So whole body is changing. You see, it's another body, completely different body. But the person inside the body, maybe the person is changing. He might learn French, he might learn mathematics. But it's the person that is learning the mathematics and the French. That person factually is not changing. It's the same person. He might learn A, B, C, D, but it's the same person that's learning A, B, C, D. It's the body that's changing. And Krishna is saying, there's no reason to believe that at the end, when the body finishes, that you will not get another body, which is already happening. Kaumanam, Jauvanam, Jara. Kid, youth, old age. Old person. So, the idea is, the problem actually that we are facing is that we are not this body, and we want to be happy. I explained that. Satchit Ananda Vigra. We are originally Anand, full of bliss. And that we are going to die. In America they say taxes and death. This is sure. So we don't want to die. So the only solution not to die is to go to the spiritual world. Outside of this universe. And the only way to get to the spiritual world is to do yoga. To connect with Krishna, that I was explaining about the yogis, that is a very difficult process, this yoga, standing on your head, elevating from the earth. So the real way to connect, and then I'll end, is to chant this mantra. And I was explaining about Krishna, so I explained a little bit, that Krishna is God, he is actually Bhagavan. That this is confirmed by Lord Brahma, it's not I'm saying, it's I'm quoting Lord Brahma, he's saying Ishvara Parama Krishna. And then Ram is the source of all pleasure. And there's different forms of Ram. One is his brother, Balaram. And also Ramachandra, he's very famous in India. So that is also Ram. And also Parasuram, he's also Krishna or Ram. So this mantra, it actually means all energy of the Lord, Radharani, all Supreme Personality of Godhead, all attractive Lord, source of all pleasure, please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if we chant this mantra, then we automatically connect with God, with Krishna. Because God is absolute. This is a little bit difficult to understand, but the name of God is non-different from God. This means absolute. When I say apple, I won't get the apple experience. But if you say Krishna, and there is a scientific process how to say it, there is 10 offenses to avoid. One of the offenses is that we should chant attentively. So, I mean, that is what we should do. The offense is to chant inattentively. Another offense is to offend Vaishnavas or devotees of God. If we offend them, then it will stop the chanting of the pure name. So there's a scientific process how to chant it. Of course, in the beginning, it's not so important. It's good to just start chanting. And so the idea is that when we chant his name, we're actually associating with Krishna. You can experience it. But it takes some time. Like I am chanting every day on this mala. It's 108 beats. I chant 16 rounds every day. That's 1728 times Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that is called yoga. You connect with Krishna through this mantra. Mantra meditation. And what you can also do, and that is what we will do in a few minutes, is together chant Sankirtan. Kir means glorify, Kirtan, and San means together. So that is also recommended, that we together chant, because alone is alone. It is a little bit difficult. Like, who can go to the Himalayas and sit there on the mountain? And I know also that most of these yogis that sit there, generally they use a lot of drugs, because it's very cold. It's very difficult to stay there. And there's only a few that are really serious. But they cannot go even to the Vishnuloka or the Goloka Vrindavan. They can go up to Brahman, which is that impersonal light. And that light is coming from Krishna's body. So when we chant this mantra, then we connect with Krishna, and we get, by connecting with Krishna, we become purified, because Krishna is all pure, and we associate with Krishna by chanting his name. The mind, because that is the problem, it's the mind. Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. You think of me, you become my devotee, you put your namaskars to me, and you bow down to me. So this is actually Krishna telling Arjuna that you should love me. You think of me. It is a very intimate thing to say to someone. Please think of me. Generally it is only said between husband and wife, or sometimes between mother and child. You please think of me, you know, when the child leaves. So Krishna is asking us to think of him. And in the beginning it's a little bit difficult, but that is why I'm saying you can chant this mantra. And when you chant this mantra, automatically you'll think of Krishna. So we'll try now to chant a little bit, because it's important that we also experience it. And then you can feel, you can check if after you chant, if you feel different than before.